This episode is brought to you by Canadip CBD, a great-tasting, superior alternative to traditional dip using CBD in a way that is radical, enjoyable, and effective. All flavor, no tobacco, and no nicotine pouches are spit-free. It comes in five core flavors: wintergreen, mint, citrus, mango, and American spice. It's crafted and manufactured in California, the heart of the cannabis industry. You can find the link to get 20% off in the description of this show.
The Pest Report is sponsored by High and Happy Catering out of Springfield, Massachusetts. Their chef, Michael Best, can cook anything you want with or without being infused with cannabis. Check out some of what they make on their Instagram at High and Happy Catering or call them at 413-785-8999. You'll be happy you did.
Welcome to the Pesky Report, a podcast for Red Sox fans.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Pesky Report. This is episode number 141. We are sponsored by Belly Up Sports Media. My name is Brad Chandler. With me today, I have my co-host, Hogdale. How are we doing?
Had myself a pretty good day.
Yeah, no socks today, but it's all right on my end. It's also, I'm happy to announce, we have our friend. We haven't had you on, and I want to say it's been roughly a year now. Yeah. We got to start getting you on a little more often. We have Amari from Rockin' on the Jake. How are we doing, bud?
Doing good. You know, the new name Guardians are in first place, so I can't complain. You know what I mean? Everybody thought that we were going to have 10 wins at this point and look like the Orioles, but first place, you can't say anything now.
Are the Orioles even the worst team?
No, they're not even close. The Orioles are having a good year for their standards. They're like fun but bad instead of just shit.
For their standards, you're right.
Yeah. Oakland. When your standard is we win like 60 games, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're halfway already there.
Oakland, 329. Yeah, Oakland is so far the worst in all of Major League. They're 23-47. Then you've got, I think Kansas City is 25-43.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah. 23-46, the Cincinnati Reds. Didn't they like start off like 6-20 or something like that?
Yeah, they were like 3-18 or something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. And now they're rocking a .333 winning percentage.
Dude, the kick in the nuts being a Royals fan is they thought they were gonna like take a step this year. Fuck me. Second worst record in baseball. At least Bobby Witt Jr. looks pretty good.
Yeah. Well, so I reached out to you, Amari, because of the fact, you know, the Red Sox are going to be facing the Guardians. I have to catch myself still, you know, with that. You know, everybody's still saying the Indians. I've heard Eckersley on Nesson. He said it a couple of times. And it's something that we're going to have to get used to. It's going to slip. It's going to happen. But the Cleveland Guardians. So the last time you and I talked, or actually I think all three of us were on the same podcast. So the last time we all talked, we were talking about the change of the name and whatnot. So give us a little update. Like how is like the city embracing it? Like, are they embracing it?
I'll be honest. It helps to be in first place because if we were, what did you say, 25 and whatever, there'd be people picking out the state as we speak. Because they think that somehow the name change just, you know, we just fell apart. But no, the name change so far has been, I guess you could say, positive. I mean, a lot of people don't care. Of course, you're going to have those people that are sticklers about it and don't even want to type it out in a tweet because they just don't want to do anything with it, which I mean, it's ridiculous on every front, but who am I to judge? But other than that, no, it's been great. So can't complain.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Yeah, your team is sitting at 36-29 with a 554 winning percentage, tied with the Twins, which I'm not understanding this. I've never understood this. Like, the Twins have 39 wins, 32 losses. And they're at a 549 win percentage, but they're tied. So,
yeah.
Have the Guardians not played all their games this year or something? Do they have some makeup games coming
up?
Yeah.
I think we've had two games rained out that we haven't made up yet. I think there's one or two games that we have to play next month that we haven't played yet. So, yeah, it's been some rough weather. As you know, being in the Midwest, you guys are up north, but, In the Midwest.
The weather's brutal.
Terrible.
It's so bad.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember like 10 years ago on opening day, or at least our home opener, it was still snowing. It was April.
That was last year, wasn't it?
We've had a couple times. A couple years ago, actually, we were in Detroit for the season opener. We lost like 2-0 and it was snowing. I remember it snowing.
So I wanted to ask you, because I didn't get to actually talk to you about this. You were up in my neck of the woods.
I was. I was in Springfield.
Did you end up going to Boston?
Yeah, I actually have. Oh, where is it? I actually got a little souvenir. I took a tour of Fenway Park.
Oh, hell yeah!
Nice.
So I got a little 3D magnet. I took some pictures. You know, I'm an aspiring journalist, so I got to go up in the press box. So that was fun. But got to go in the visitors' clubhouse, so that was fun. I was up there for a while. Got a lobster roll. I was up there for a couple hours. No, it was very fun. I would definitely love to go back, and I definitely have a better appreciation for Fenway being there in person,
right?
And taking pictures and seeing it.
I've always, like, every time I go to a park, I have more I've been to Fenway like, I don't know how many times, but like, I've been to Yankee Stadium. I mean, I still think that like, it looks like a mall, but like,
you're not wrong.
Yeah. But I mean, if we're going to talk about like comfort and whatnot, like Hogdale can attest to this. It's not comfortable sitting in the bleachers at Fenway Park being a big boy.
Genuinely painful.
Yeah. But I went to Yankee Stadium with my nephew. And I have to say, we sat in these super comfortable seats out in like center field. And I was just like shocked. I've been to Citizens Bank Park. That place, it was great. But out of all the parks that I've been to so far, I'd have to say the Miami Marlins Park is probably the most beautiful park I've seen. And it sucks because you wouldn't know because there's never anybody there.
Yeah.
So
the Marlins Park went down like so many grades in my book for park rankings the second they took out that awesome statue they had like out in left center field. That thing was so sick. And like, Derek Jeter came in like, we hate fun. Get that shit out of here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Jeter on that one.
Hispanic culture, yeah. Get the fuck out of here. We don't want you. Yeah. You disgust me. I spit on you.
The Marlins, that little... whatever, screw that. They still have it there. They just took it out of left.
It's
left
like out, whatever it is. It's like outside.
It's outside. It is.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, it's still a beautiful park. Like, don't even get it twisted.
I mean, it's no Trop. It's not the Trop, for being honest. Yeah. Towards beautiful parks, oh, you know. I mean,
that place is a fucking thump.
I can't
Would
wait
to rather be at the Trop or the Coliseum.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That's like, if you were in hell,
at least
like
the Trop is domed.
Those are your only two choices.
I mean, at least the Trop is domed and I don't have to fear for my life getting shit on by seagulls.
I was going to say, like, at least the Trop doesn't smell like shit. Literally. It doesn't have sewage leaks. So I'd probably say the Trop.
All right. Enough shitting on these other teams. We weren't even wanted to talk about. So you guys, last year you guys lost Lindor, right? Doesn't seem like that was a big loss for you guys. It sucks, obviously. You know, he wanted to keep that franchise player. But you got your Jose Ramirez, who I believe signed for 141.
Yep,
that's right.
A 7 years, $141. Wow, that would be cheap as fuck. I would pay him
what he could have made. It might as well be $141.
$141 million, 7 years. Holy crap, man! That's insanity. Yeah. What were your thoughts on that?
It was unfortunate. I remember us talking about it the last time I was on. It was unfortunate because it's somebody that came up through your system as a homegrown player who loved Cleveland while he was here. And you could also understand, though, a person of his caliber. Yeah, exactly. Person of his caliber, you know, you don't want to lose that because someone like Cleveland, you know, we typically trade those players away as we did with Lindor because we can't afford them. But to have the success that, you know, Jose Ramirez, a lot of people will argue that he was the better player of the two. It just took him a little bit longer to come on. And he's definitely the more consistent of the two. While I won't say anything, not many things negative about Lindor while he was here because he was pretty good and he was an all-star, Silver Slugger, the whole thing. Appreciate him being here. But you could argue that Jose Ramirez was the better player because of how consistent he was. Now, the players that we got back in that trade also are performing at the very least decently. So that kind of helps ease the pain of losing somebody who was so popular and somebody who was embraced by the fans and the team and the city. So as we sit here and tied for first place right now, it definitely doesn't hurt as bad as it might have when we traded him. I think the thing that hurt the most was losing Cookie, because that one felt like a throwaway for no reason.
You know, I think a lot of people keep forgetting that he was a part of that deal. Carrasco is, you know, he was a good pitcher. Definitely good with the with Cleveland. So, I actually, Hogdale, do you know how he's doing on the Mets?
I know he's having a really good year since he's come back, from what I remember seeing. And, like, maybe it's just, like, the Guardians roster. Like, we literally develop pitchers in our sleep. We lose no sleep over this. But at the same time, he was, like, a fan favorite. Do. And, like, you just used him as, like, a throw-in in the trade, it seemed like. It's like,
And that's what hurt, because it just seemed like you didn't have to do that to get the trade done. And so somebody who was probably, I won't say he was more popular, but he was definitely beloved by the teammates and definitely the fans. It just seemed like, all right, we'll see you later. We were making this trade and we're just going to throw you in. So definitely not somebody who is expensive by all counts, but it just seemed like they just kind of threw him out to the wind just to include him in that trade.
So my next question for you is, like, all right, you guys, you know, you had Lindor. Unfortunately, that trade ended up happening. Ended up throwing in Cookie in that. You have Jose Ramirez, who signs a 7-year deal, like, team friendly. Like, there's no other way to explain that. You guys have Shane Bieber still. Mm-hmm. Who's the next one you think should be on the we need to sign?
Tristan McKenzie. I've been a fan of his, both vocally and quietly, for years. And even when he was having a rough go at it to start the year last year, I was still in his corner. I was wrote about him when he was a minor leaguer before he made his debut. Came up, and a lot of people may not remember this name, but looked like Danny Salazar facing the Tigers, striking out Miguel Cabrera on a 100-mile-an-hour pitch. So that was fun to see. So to have that start to his career. And, you know, he's still young. I think he's 25 now, but at the time he was 23, 24. Like, he's young. He's going to have his bumps. Just let him go through his bumps, and he'll get better. And we're seeing that since about, like, about last August, pretty much. He's probably at the very best our second best pitcher.
Looking over his stats right now, I actually remember seeing him pitching for the Guardians, and I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Mm-hmm. Like, so if right now he's 4-5, he's got a 444 win-loss percentage. He's got a 351 ERA. He's started 12 games, thrown 74 to third innings. It's not terrible. He's given up 55 hits, 29 runs, all of them earned, 14 bombs. That kind of seems like Nathan Eovaldi's doing that too. He's given, I think he's given up 16 home runs so far this year. Yeah, he's given up 16 home runs. So that's a little alarming. He seems to be giving up the long ball a little much. But
yeah, he definitely is. But I think when you look at it, the thing that you can kind of be positive about, a great majority of those are solo home runs. So in the grand scheme of things, it's not hurting him. And so even last night, even, you know, we got behind pretty early. He gave up a solo home run to Carlos Correa in the first inning, but it didn't hurt us because it was one run and it was early. So it definitely doesn't seem like giving up those home runs have affected his confidence like it may have last year, because it definitely looked like his confidence was shot. But this year, he's a completely different pitcher.
Yeah, he does. He definitely does look like a good pitcher for you guys. I saw him pitch. I don't remember who it was, but I was like, who is this? Where's he from? Where did he come from? Do you have anybody else that you think that they should end up? Okay, let's try and get this guy to stay here.
If we're just talking overall.
And why is it Tito?
Well, listen, Tito has given us success that we haven't had since arguably the 90s. I mean, since 2007, you know, we lose a 3-1 lead to the Red Sox and don't go to the World Series. It's been kind of sporadic until he came. So since he's been here, we've been pretty consistent, minus the 2 or 3 years we didn't make the playoffs. But if we're talking overall perspective, probably Andrés Giménez. And it's probably a little too early to say that, but just to see also his bounce back from last year, struggling last year as a young player. Like I said, it's definitely eased the burden of losing Lindor, because, you know, the person that you got back in that trade is responsible for the success that the team is having so far.
So what position is he playing right now? I'm looking at his baseball reference. It says second, shortstop, third base. Is he a utility guy or?
No, he's a natural shortstop, which causes if you're ever in Cleveland Guardians Twitter, you'll see a lot of going back and forth between him and Ahmed Rosario, because they prefer Giménez's defense better. He definitely has more range, has a better glove. His offense has definitely come around this year, but he's a natural second baseman, but he can play. I'm sorry, a natural shortstop, but he can play second.
Yeah, after seeing Story make that transition, I think a lot of people are going to be like, "Oh, man, well, you know what? Maybe we could get something here. We might need
baseman." Our best player currently is also a natural shortstop, but he came up playing second base in left field because there was a blockage at second base, and obviously we've now seen him made his home at third base. And at this point, there's no reason to move him, even if, you know, you have an opening. He's made his home at third base. And he's comfortable there. He's more than capable handling that position. So
Joe Ram, huh?
Even there. That's correct.
He's so good. It's insane how good he is. He'd literally be the consensus MVP right now if Aaron Judge wasn't going fucking insane.
And if we weren't a small market team, he definitely deserves more recognition that he's getting. But here in Cleveland, I mean, we love him. So
yeah, I was gonna
just going on record here. We were talking about it before, like, the All-Star ballot started coming out and whatnot, and we were 100% sure that Rafi Devers was going to be second to Ramirez, simply how good he is and how good he has been. But it looks as though, as of right now, you know, I wouldn't be upset either way with, like, Jose Ramirez being the starting third baseman for the All-Star game, or Rafi Devers being the starting third baseman for the All-Star game. Either one, you can't go wrong there. But we were surprised. We were talking about it as a crew, that was the case. So
if I was a Guardians fan, I'd think it's a whole crock of bullshit. Dude, Jose Ramirez, like, Rafi's having a great year, and I love him. But Jose Ramirez is legitimately, like, not even close to the best third baseman in baseball. He has been for about 3 or 4 years now, and people just refuse to give him credit. It's really irritating. Like, he does all the hitting. Like, he plays good defense, and he does something that no other third baseman does, and that he steals bases. Like, he steals 20 bases every year consistently. He already has, like, 12 stolen bases this year. Like, his base running is just on another level compared to every other third baseman. And he hits for power, hits for average. I mean, gets on base. Like, he's the complete package. And I'm just tired of the disrespect, dude. I really am.
So, yes, thank you. You're preaching to the choir. Keep going, because, I mean, a lot of, especially coming from a Red Sox podcast, but a lot of people should definitely know more about Jose Ramirez. So for that to come from on the outside, that, you know, means a lot.
So, yeah, it's just to, like, stack up on that. He leads American League in RBIs. He leads American League with triples. So he's got 4 triples and 62 RBIs.
Yep, 12 stolen bases. I mean, hitting 300, 16 home runs. I mean, like I said, if Judge hadn't hit 27 home runs right now, and he might hit 60 this year, like, J-Ram would be the clear cut. This is the MVP.
Yeah, I definitely agree there.
So, yeah, I mean, he should be the starting third baseman. And I fucking love Raffy. Raffy's having a career year, and even he upped his defense. And even with that, like, he ain't J-Ram. He just isn't.
I'm just saying, you know, like I said, I wouldn't be upset either way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, both of them are definitely deserving. I wasn't upset, more so like, wow. I mean, I get it, because you're playing in a bigger market. I mean, the Red Sox are more noticeable than the Guardians are, especially if you didn't even know that the Indians changed their name, but whatever. But, you know, like I said, I get it. So for them to be 1-2, literally neck and neck, they're both going to be in the All-Star game either way. And, I mean, I get there's a clear distinction on, you know, being an All-Star starter and a reserve, but definitely both of them deserve it, and we'll see what it comes down to.
By the way, I haven't gotten the chance to watch many Guardians games this year. How's Shane Bieber been, like, this year? Like,
yeah, he's looking more ace-like as the time is going on. He got off to a slow start. We think he was having some issues with his delivery. His fastball was barely touching 90, 91. And since maybe April, May, it's been about 93, 94, 95. I mean, he still has that knuckle curve that nobody can lay off of. I think he struck out Correa like 4 times the other night because he couldn't lay off the curveball. But no, he's definitely somebody who's going to get recognition. He definitely deserves some All-Star voting if he can keeps it up. Obviously, consistency is key. But he definitely looks more like the ace that he's supposed to be now than he did earlier. So he's getting better.
So because we started talking about the All-Star game and whatnot, let me ask you, because I'll explain my position on this. What are your thoughts on fans voting for the All-Star game?
It's fair. I don't think we should put as much weight into it as we do, because after all, I get New York and Los Angeles and Chicago. They just, as a fact, they have more people in their cities and their fan bases are larger and they travel more than other cities, say like Oakland or Tampa or Cleveland or whoever. And even though you may have that standout person on your team, and I'll get into another point about having representation for every team, about whether that's fair or not. But I don't think we should have as much weight with fans voting, because it can clearly be swayed one way or another depending on how many people vote or how visible your team is to a national audience. Because I think we've had one nationally televised game, and understandably so, you're going to have more of the Cubs, even when they're bad. You're going to have the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers. The Braves just won the World Series, so they're on national TV, so I get it. But I think there should be more weight for player voting. Obviously, peer voting, you know, would hold more weight just because you're voting for peers, people you respect and maybe look up to, compete against, whatever the case may be. And obviously the media, because they're the ones that are with the team at all times and writing about them constantly. So I get fan voting, and I'm not saying take away fan voting.
But I am.
Maybe take back the weight.
I say take away the fan voting. And the reason for it is I saw a few people post their votes up, and I'm like, why are we voting for Bobby Dalbec to be the starting first baseman?
team spirit.
now.
Yeah.
Like, it's an all-star game. Let's put somebody who actually deserves to be there. Like, if somebody, like, I don't know. Like, who's a first baseman? Trey Mancini. Let's just talk. Yeah. Trey Mancini. Like, you're going to put Bobby Dalbec over Trey Mancini? Like, I haven't even looked at Trey Mancini's numbers right now, and I haven't seen him
He's not even playing first base. You got Mountcastle over there at first base.
Right. Okay, let's give Mountcastle. I know Trey Mancini played first base a few times over the past few years, so that's why I'm going with him. But Mountcastle, I would pick him over Dalbec in a heartbeat. But it's like, that's the problem, is like, we get people that don't use their brain. They're like, oh, I'm going to send everybody on my team. I'm going to send, you know, I'm going to send, Jeter Downs. You know, he was up. I'm going to send him. Well, yeah. He's not even on the team now. You know, like, you just wasted that vote.
So, well, you know, All-Star game, you get stuff like Bo Bichette being the starting shortstop above Xander Bogaerts. No.
Above.
In no universe. No. Oh. Get the fuck out of here. Bichette's having such a mid-year, like, by his standards and by everyone's standards. Like, he plays shit defense. He's not even hitting, like, exponentially well like he's supposed to. And, like, he's the starting shortstop. Give me a fucking break.
So, that's my reasoning why I think fan voting is just ridiculous. I
mean, as long as we have, like, you know, stuff that actually matters, like all MLB teams, you know, all Silver Sluggers and the awards and stuff, that helps balance it out. Because, like, genuinely, like, when you're talking about who's the better player, like, who, like, brings up with their chest in all sincerity, like, oh, yeah, but he has 4 All-Star game appearances to this guy is 1. Like, come on. Like, no.
I mean, technically, we could have 2 shortstops not playing in the All-Star game.
True.
But one of them hasn't played shortstop all season, so.
You know, the switching gears a little bit, like, to the, like, the AL Central in general right now, it's really interesting to me because some teams have really, in the area where they're supposed to take another step, have fallen off. The Tigers are really funny to me in that, you know, they're like, all right, guys, it's time to get competitive. We're going to sign Javier Baez.
They definitely thought they were doing something before the beginning of the year, which I get, but no, you're still not too far. So.
Yeah. Right. We're trading for Austin Meadows. Look at the moves we're making, and they're just complete dog shit again.
The Rays were like, you're trading for Austin Meadows? Okay. And when the Rays are like, okay with trading somebody, that's wrong. When, like, a red flag should just go off. So last night we were talking about possible trade chips and who we should trade for first base, because just like last year, we need a first baseman. And one of our co-hosts, Doink, mentioned G-Man Choi. She's like, we should trade for him. His swing would fit well at Fenway Park. He'd be a merchant of the pesky pole, you know? And I'm like, well, who do we trade for him? Like, we package up, like, Christian Arroyo, Bobby Dalbec, and Matt Barnes. And then all of a sudden, Matt Barnes becomes like an ace starter with the Tampa Bay Rays.
He fucking would, too. He would. God damn it, I hate the Rays.
That cheat lab there.
That immaculate cheating lab. Immaculate. I mean, only few can touch it, like the Yankees and, you know, a few other select teams. But, you know. Also, like, AL Central-wise, how are the Twins even keeping up right now? I swear to God, like, 2 of their best pitchers are, like, out for the year. I'm pretty sure Maeda's out for the year. And I think Sonny Gray is missing a significant chunk of time. Either him or someone else.
Starting next.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, he just pitched. Wasn't it last night?
One second. I know the Twins are missing 2 starters. It might not be Sonny Gray. But I know Maeda's out for the year. And, like, they don't have a deep pitching staff to begin with. So, like, losing one of them.
Actually, I think Gray's pitching right now.
Hey, what do you know? And, like, it's like Byron Buxton is single-handedly putting the team on his back. And I really respect him for it. But I have no idea how the hell they're going to keep it up.
Yeah, because he's not even hitting for average right now, which is crazy. Because where the hell did you get this power surge from? Where you have almost 20 home runs and it's barely June. I mean, at the time, at least. I know he's injured now. But then you don't have Sano in his power. Royce Lewis goes down with another ACL.
I was wrong.
So it's like, I don't get it, because they definitely, I won't say they don't have the pitching, but if you were to just look at their roster, it doesn't make sense for them to have the lead that they did, and that's who, I guess, still technically be tied for first place. But, I mean, everybody regresses to the mean at some point. So being tied with them right now, that's what we're hoping for, because we just took 2 out of 3.
Yeah, say, like, I love the Guardians' chances of winning the division. Like, honestly, like, there's just, in my head, there's no shot the Twins keep up. There's no fucking shot. Like, yeah. They just don't have the depth.
The Twins are literally the only thing in our way, because, I mean, since, what, 2016, 17, we've owned the Tigers completely, and they're still 4 games behind us. And, I mean, don't even count on the Royals. So,
Sonny pitched last night.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
And he pitched against you guys last night, and then he's pitching against you guys, according to FanGraphs, which we're known to, like, FanGraphs is not known to have the greatest projections, but when it comes to the starting rotation. But he is looking, they're saying that he's going to start against them on Monday.
Yep.
So wait, hold on. You guys played them, what was it, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Or was it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Monday we had an off day.
So okay, so you had them 3 games. Then you end up having the Sox for 3 games, and then you have the Twins again for 3 games.
Yep.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
So we're pitchers are going to face them twice, and vice versa.
And then you guys got them for 5 games. You got a doubleheader on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I expect the White Sox to surge eventually. Like, they have to. There's way too much talent on that team. I know they've been dealing with an injury bug lately. So
there's talent, but I mean, like, when you get Tony La Russa, you know,
yeah,
this one that didn't get shit canned though, which is a good
thing. I mean, respect to them, because they did a whole lot better than I thought they did would last year. So I mean, can't completely count them out. So I mean, there's that.
Boy, did you see him walk? Who was it, Trey Turner? Yeah. He had 2 strikes on him. He's like, Matthew, you know, we're gonna walk him.
He's such a clown. He's such a clown. Fucking dinosaur. He's like,
I do it again.
And he had the audacity to, like, double down and be like, I mean, no one who actually knows baseball would disagree with my decision. Yeah, if you were going to walk him, you should have walked him, you know, 2 strikes before. Like, what are you fucking talking about? You've already made the decision that you're pitching to him.
Right.
It's mind-blowing. Genuinely mind-blowing. Fucking dinosaur. Get him out of the game.
So let's actually talk about the series coming up, because that's one of the reasons why I brought you. I wanted to have you on, and you know, get a little bit of background on what the year is, how the players are, and whatnot. Let's talk about the series. So we have Nick Pivetta going up against Cal Quantrill. We have one of our rookie pitchers, Josh Winkowski, who made his major league debut earlier this season. He has the tough task of facing off against Shane Bieber. And then you got one, my good sir, Dick Mountain, Rich Hill, going up against Aaron, is it Savale?
Savale.
See, I've never heard that name before, and I saw it, and I was like, that does not look like a Savale.
That's
it
a
looks
great
like a Savale.
Yeah.
So, I you know what? I'm patting myself on the back there.
Yeah.
Give us we know about Cal Quantrill. We saw him last year. I will say, like, one of the funniest things I saw, I believe, last year, and I'm pretty sure, not 100% sure, but I'm like 90% sure, it was when we were playing the then Indians. I'll just call them Cleveland. But we were playing Cleveland, and I think the catcher threw the ball back to the pitcher and hit Jaron Duran right off the helmet at the plate. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't, but it sounds familiar.
I have to, you know what? I think I have.
And that, I wouldn't be surprised.
I have that bookmarked. I have to have that bookmarked.
God, I wish I probably wasn't watching that game, because if I was, I would have quote tweeted the video with that Adam Schefter tweet that just says assault, and like just watch it blow up.
Give me a second. I'm trying to find it. I know I have it for a fact.
My God.
But give us a little, like, what's Cal got for us? What do you think, what's his pitches?
What's in his bag?
He's inconsistent this year because he's somebody kind of like his name escapes me. He just pitched last night. But he has really good stuff, and he has a really good changeup, but struggles to locate it and seems to either fall in love with it or never use it.
You got the video?
I did. I found it.
Of course
he did. I found it. I had it bookmarked, just like I said I did. I'm sorry, Amari. I wanted to.
No, you're good. You're good. But no, he's been really good with the absence of Bieber and Savali last year. Where you said the name doesn't sound familiar. Yeah, go ahead and play it.
Quantrill's on the mound too. That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just strike. Oh,
wow.
My favorite part is Jared Duran. Like when he looks at him.
On the edge of strike.
Like, bro, are you serious?
Is Hedges still on the team?
Yes, he's our starting catcher. Okay. Everyday catcher.
Legend. Yep.
So I have to post that.
Yeah. Look, you're going to come out tomorrow wearing double flaps.
Oh, my God.
Just for that reason.
That'd be so funny.
Looking like Shane Victorino.
He's got the C flap now, I think.
Yeah, that too. He's going to come up with the double C flap.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Got to protect the whole face.
Yes.
All right, back to Cal. You said that he picked it up a little bit when Bieber went down.
Yeah, so last year, like you said, Aaron Savali is not a name that you remember, but definitely somebody who last year deserved more attention because he was the best pitcher, at the very least, in the American League. I remember he was tied with Kyle Hendricks, I believe, with wins, and then ironically got hurt in Chicago facing the Cubs, and we didn't see him until, like, September. So he was really good last year. But like I said, in their absence, Quantrill was definitely the best pitcher that we had because I hate that his name escapes me right now. But he pitched last night. He's been struggling since last year. Tristan McKenzie was still struggling.
For who?
For us.
Sorry, Plesac?
Plesac, thank you.
There you go.
Zach Plesac, okay, he's struggling. Yeah, he's been struggling this whole time, but Quantrill, he definitely has the makeup of a good pitcher. He's just been inconsistent, and he's 4-4, but his ERA, I believe, is over 4. So it really is hit or miss for him.
Oh, I guess they never miss.
It's rising.
Oh my God!
And what are we expecting from Biebs? I don't even know if I should ask that.
If you really want to know, you're looking at a guy whose fastball over the past couple of months has gone from about 90 to about 94. And like I said, with that curveball, people, whatever, can't seem to lay off of it. And it's his go-to strike. So people should know it's coming. And even if they do, they still can't lay off of it. So his confidence has definitely shot back up over the past couple of months. He's definitely still the ace that, you know, we fell in love with a couple of years ago, who won the Cy Young Award and Triple Crown. I'm not in the predicting business, but if I had to, I'm just going to mark that one as a win. So,
he's going to just lay down his fucking dick and balls across our collective faces. Okay, cool.
Exactly.
Good to mark it down.
Yeah.
Still got to face a good offense. So
yeah, that's true.
I'm not taking anything away from Beeb because he can pitch.
Yeah.
And what are we looking at for Savale?
Yeah, he's probably going to be on some type of limit. His ERA is over 7. He has only made one start since he's come back from his injury, and that didn't last very long. He actually looked pretty good, to be honest. But to be in only his second start, especially against a good offense like Boston, to be honest, I don't want to sell him short, but I'm not expecting much. He'll probably go maybe 4 or 5 if he's really good and turn it over to – who knows? Hopefully not Brian Shaw, but if we can get to Eli Morgan, who's been very good this year, and his fastball has jumped up to about 95, 96. We could still win that game, even if Savali only goes 4 or 5.
How is your bullpen?
Bullpen can be hit or miss. We have our reliable guys. So we just sent Castro down the other day. Brian Shaw has been hit or miss. He's been in Cleveland really his entire career, except for maybe 4 years. He went to Colorado, then came back and was actually good. I think he actually gets more hate than he deserves from Cleveland fans. He's been probably the most consistent bullpen pitcher that we've had. Pitches a lot of innings. But he's been hit or miss. He gave up the lead the other day. I don't think we lost, but he was responsible for giving up that lead. Of course, our closer, Class A, who throws 101 mile an hour cutters, just completely unfair. His slider is about 94. So you're going to have to battle between those two at which one you want to swing at or not swing at and get called for a strikeout. So
I was actually, hit or miss. I was going to ask, I was like, do you guys have a closer? Because
yeah, we do.
It kind of seemed like we were in the same boat as you guys, you know, like we were like closer by committee for like the longest time. And we literally needed to like, we finally got our closer. They haven't actually announced him as a closer because he's unvaccinated and he can't pitch up in Toronto. So
nice. Now, sounds like another pitcher that we have who's kind of troublesome, but we won't talk about him. Oh. Yeah, he hasn't played all season. He Karinchak. The wicked curveball and like the 98 mile an hour fastball. So he, him and Class A were kind of platooning, almost like, you know, closer by committee. But he was struggling with his command, got hit around a lot, gave up home runs, got sent down, went on the IL, and we haven't seen him since. And actually, when he came back up, he was more of a middle reliever. So he got knocked out of that closer role. Class A came on stronger. He was more consistent, proved that he can be put out there consistently in the ninth inning, and he's held down the closer role since about the middle of last year, I believe.
God, he's having a fucking wacky year, too.
Yeah.
1.48 ERA. I mean, he's already – how many saves? He's already got 17 saves. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. I have
– hold on.
I dream of having that caliber of closer. Jesus Christ. Oh.
Who was the other one you were talking about?
James Karinchak, number 99.
They got him on the 60-day IL that's been retroactive to since April.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, how the fuck did the Rangers let Class A go? How do you do that?
Well, they let him go, and then they picked up Martin Perez. That's what they did.
Yeah, because like it's like 2019. Like, yeah, he only appeared in for 23 innings, but he had a 2.31 ERA. I think he got suspended for PEDs, and they're like, yeah, fuck him.
Yep.
What? No? Just no?
It's because they said, oh, you're going to take the shields off our hands? Fine, take them. And we see how that proved out. He only lasted with us 1 year, and I don't think he's been in the majors since.
Man.
All right, so I don't know if do you know who Nick Pivetta is?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's been our lights out like ace basically.
Yeah, isn't he like 7-4, 7-5?
I believe so. I'm not
mistaken.
I don't know, but I know that I went to opening day and he had like a 12 ERA to start off the season. He's 7-5, and now he's got a 3.31 ERA.
If you take out April, he's been like one of the three best pitchers in baseball.
He's probably I would almost put money on the fact that he's probably going to the All-Star game with the way he's been pitching. I mean, he goes at least it's no less than six innings, like his last like 10 games or whatever. He has a complete game. Did he have a shutout? I don't think he had a shutout.
I don't think it was a shutout. No, that's the thing.
Walker's the only one that had the shutout.
Yes. The thing about Pivetta that's wacky, too, is because, you know, modern MLB, like, pitchers rarely go six innings. Pivetta in this stretch has gone at minimum six and multiple times seven or eight and one time a full complete game. Like
he also leads the league in game started.
Like, he's been a workhorse.
14.
Yeah.
Thank you, Philly. We will always appreciate you. Hope you appreciated Heath Hembry and Brandon Workman while you had them.
And then we ended up getting Brandon. We got Workman back.
And then we got Workman back, and he gave us innings. What the fuck?
He still sucked.
He was not good. No, he was really bad.
He was terrible. All right, so we got Pivetta. Witkowski, I might actually chalk that one up as a loss because we're facing Biebs.
Bieber's sick. Yeah. I love how Witkowski's looked, though.
And yeah,
the Hill-Savali matchup is going to be who can pitch the slowest.
Oh, Savale, a slow pitcher?
He's definitely more of a finesse pitcher. He's not a power pitcher like Beaver. So he can take his time, and everything moves. He has a cutter. He has a good changeup. So, I mean, he's going to hit like 92.
Oh, no. Nah. Rich Hill will beat him. He's got a 69 mile per hour curveball.
I know. I don't know how he does it.
The slow hook.
And not only does he have it like a 69 mile per hour curveball, he will drop down and throw it too. Mm-hmm.
As long as he doesn't like do that like 69 mile an hour saucer curveball, that's like the most hittable pitch I've ever seen, where it's just a meatball that comes right to the middle of the plate, then we'll be safe. As long as he doesn't do that.
I've said this before on our show. Like I hate grunters and whatnot. Oh, like
he's the biggest grunter.
I love him grunting though. When he throws like an 89 mile per hour fastball and you hear the it's like, okay, you're old. You can do that.
Yeah, that's like we get it.
When you have Robbie Ray who throws it and every single time he's like, oh, it's like, dude, shut up.
Listen, they're just trying to do their best Maria Sharapova impersonation, man. Like, calm down, all right? Don't disrespect the art form. Man.
I'm trying to look up something real quick.
Yeah? You got something cooking over there in your metaphorical kitchen?
I want to see what...
It's like the meme of it, image of like Thanos just says, "What is he cooking?" So stupid. Right,
let's take a peek here.
Compelling content as always here at the Pesky Report.
Oh, okay. All right, so he's got a Savali's got like a ton of pitches, huh? He doesn't throw his changeup all that often. He doesn't throw a slider all that often. He really doesn't. His main pitches are cutter, curveball, sinker, and then occasional fastball.
So is he like the anti-Pedro, where like he has all these pitches, but he just throws them all equally dog shit?
Well, he's got the cutter, curveball. The cutter, he throws 33% of the time. A curveball, he throws 24% of the time. Sinker, 17% of the time. And the fastball, 12% of the time. Everything else is like in single digits.
Yeah. That makes sense. Sometimes you got to throw in like a mediocre screwball to really fuck with them mentally.
That seems like an Eovaldi type situation.
That really is a 100% something Nate would do. All
right. So, what do you think your team's doing? How many games do you think they're winning? How many?
If you asked me at the beginning of the year, I would say like anywhere from like 75 to like 85.
I'm asking this series.
Oh, this series. Okay. I'm going to confidently say 2.
Oh, shit.
That's weird because I'm confidently saying 2.
Yeah, I'm not going to say a sweep. I'm not going to go that far, but I'm going to say 2. I think
I will say this. I don't think it's going to happen. And we talked about this last night on our latest episode. But if they come in rocking those yellow jerseys, you guys are
fucked. It's over.
Well, good thing we're home. You don't wear them on the road, do you?
You know what? Who says they can't?
They might lose game one and be like, fuck it. Nuclear option. Pull out the yellow jerseys.
they just swept the Tigers and they're 5-0 right now while wearing those City Connects. So.
Yeah, I saw it was a wild shit. It was a while back, so I don't know what it is now, but it was something like every other uniform that you guys have worn have been like 500 or below, except for when you wear those City Connect jerseys. You guys are unbeatable. I'm like, what the fuck?
They are. Is it 10-2 or 11-2?
I think it's 11-2 now.
I think it's 11-2. Yeah, it's crazy. Like they decided to start wearing it during the playoffs last year, and everybody was like, why are we wearing these? And it was simply because Chris Sale didn't get a chance to wear it earlier in the season. And then they were like, you know what? Screw it. We're going to start playing with them. And they kept winning. And then this year so far, I don't care, man. I love seeing them play in the City Connects. I love what they stand for. And if they're going to win while wearing them, wear them all the time. So I don't care.
Piss Sox represent. Let's go.
Amari, why don't you give everybody, let everybody know where they can find you at.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter. The name is right there, Amari_M17. So we haven't done a podcast since last year, so don't come there looking for an episode. You aren't going to find one.
I'm going to have to change the description of the show because I put I did put check out Rockin' on the J.
I mean, you can, of course, come over, give us a follow, whatever. We'll take that. We'll take your follow. But if you're looking for an episode, you're going to be behind because it's going to be from last year. But if you come to my page, I mean, I talk about literally everything. It also doesn't help. I mean, it also helps that I'm verified. So I always got to plug that.
Looks harder, dude, bro. Looks harder.
But
I
got to plug it. But yeah, I'm cover the Cavs. The draft is tonight. I mean, I talk about football, everything. It doesn't even matter. I talk about everything. So come follow me on Twitter.
All right. Yeah, go ahead. Follow Amari on Twitter. Also follow the guys. Tom is also one of the co-hosts, or the host, sorry, of Rockin' on the Jake. And we have to get him on. I feel like we're going to have
to get him on. He's 0-2. He's 0-2 now. Yeah, so just ignore him next time.
Yeah, we're literally 0-2 with Tom right now. But
yeah.
And I was supposed to get him on one of my old podcasts because he wanted to do I did a music podcast. And yeah. He wanted to come on and promote some of his music. So we didn't get far with that. So I've never met Tom. And Tom, if you hear me.
Yeah, if you're watching.
You need to reach out to me because I've reached out to you two times. And I got, beautiful man. Thank you so much, Amari, for coming on. But I have Amari on two times and you have yet to make an appearance. I'm starting to feel a little
unwanted,
disrespected right now.
Unloved,
disrespected, unloved, unwanted. No, definitely hit me up. We can arrange something to get you on the show. Would love to do so, Amari. As always, it's a pleasure talking to you. It's a pleasure having you on. I want to do this again with you. You're probably one of my favorites that I've had on. In the past, everybody that's comes on is a great guest, but I love having you on. And that's the reason why I reached out to you, especially because we're playing your team. And I just wanted to, shoot the shit. And good old Hogdale over here decided he wanted to join us.
Of course. Yeah, man. I'm always down to come on. It's been roughly a year, but we made it happen. So can't wait for next time.
Oh, yeah.
We got to not make it another year. Maybe we'll do something
because next year. We might have a different name and we're going to be talking about a name change again. You won't know who the hell you're playing.
Yeah. Like, what's going on here?
It's no longer Rocking on the Jake. It's like Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever.
It's going to be something. And we'll probably get copyrighted for it. So we may not be in existence. So get it while we're good.
All right. Well, go ahead. Follow Amari. Follow Rocking on the Jake. All that will be in the description of the show. Make sure to subscribe and leave reviews for us. We could use them. We love them. We want them. Just do it.
You guys are hard workers, man. You guys, I feel like every day I go on Twitter in the morning, there's a new episode. I'm like, why are they posting a new episode at 4:00? Shouldn't you be asleep?
It's typically, so my ass is up at 4:00 in the morning.
Oh, so what you
I'm mean? At. I'm up at. I'm the one who runs the Twitter account.
Up
so
mindset.
I'm at work by 5:00 in the morning.
Okay.
So I schedule. So like when we finish recording, I schedule the tweet to go live. But if you subscribe to the show, you'll get notification well before then, knowing that the show is available. But I don't start promoting it until the morning.
Got it. Yeah, you guys are hard workers, man.
We
and then you got the lazy bums over here. So I mean,
who don't do anything for over a year?
Who don't do anything?
We have been putting out 2 to 3 episodes a week, trying to put out some decent content. We're very active on social media.
God.
Every one of us is watching games, and sometimes we should just watch games together. Hogdale here, just finally went to his first game at Fenway Park last week.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? It's a weekday. I don't usually go to games on a weekday because I have to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was like, you know what? I probably won't get this chance for a while. So I'm going to go up. I'm going to go meet Hogdale. And I did. And it was fucking great. Yep. We had fun.
Bought me a Fenway Frank. Ate that mid as fuck hot dog. It was great.
I told him.
But listen, you could come to Cleveland and get a hot dog with Fruit Loops on it. So you should make that trip.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I need to go to Cleveland. I do want to go to that stadium. Yeah. I actually drove
a hot dog that has Fruit Loops on it.
That's insane.
And bacon.
How much do they charge for that?
I don't remember. It's been a while since I've had it. But yeah, Fruit Loops and bacon.
It's the mental block. Like your wallet. Like fucking like, oh, Jesus. No. It's too much.
All right, gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me today. Amari, we'll keep in touch. Definitely have to have you on again. Maybe are we even seeing each other again this season?
I would assume so.
Let's take a quick look.
I can look it up.
Because I don't think we've been to Boston yet, so we'd have to come there.
We are seeing each other. We are not seeing each other.
Really? No.
Yes, we are seeing each other in July. End of July, July 25th to July 28th. It's right after the All-Star break, actually. So we have Toronto. Wow. We literally have like 7 games that are away, 7, 8, 9, 10 games that month away. And then the rest of the games are at home.
Yeah, we can have you on. We can talk probably some trade deadline talk. It'll be sick.
Yeah, let's try and shoot. Let's talk after, okay?
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.
Let's keep rambling, like on air. Like what? Yeah. You think these?
Thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Pesky Report. Make sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.